This is Radio Sai Global Harmony Asia Stream. And this being a Thursday, you're listening to our broadcast live from our studios in Prashanthinilayam. Dear listeners, the time right now in our studios is 12:34. And this being a beautiful afternoon, just as every Thursday, we are joined by me, Prem, from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Arvind from Team Radio Sai, and we are here to take part in the afternoon satsang, and we welcome all of you. And before all else, before we introduce today's topic, let me, on behalf of all of you and my brother Arvind here, offer our most humble and loving salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet.
Sairam Prem, today morning has been quite a morning, if I may say so. On Bhagwan's birthday, there was an announcement made in the Kulwant Hall of a new water project of about 80 crores that was taken up, covering the Bukapatnam Mandal, the Kottacheruvu Mandal and the Puttaparthi Mandal.
Okay.
And today morning actually was the groundbreaking ceremony for the same project.
Okay.
And I'm just back from there, you know, in Kottacheruvu, next to the MRO Mandal Revenue Officers place, there's a huge area that has been allocated. That is where they say that the pump house will be coming up for this project.
Okay.
And so the groundbreaking ceremony was done. The collector of the district was there. The other trustees were also there. And so they hope that by this year's Swami's birthday, they will be through with about 70% of the project. And by the next year's Aradhana Divas, this water project will be complete. They've scheduled it to be complete in about 1 year, 2 months' time. So this is a good day because it has seen a good beginning.
Yes.
It will be serving more than 100 villages with pure drinking water.
Oh, that's really nice news you've given us. And I mean, even as you were talking about today, I just remember 24 January, I think in the year 2002, that was the year we as a batch, you know, got to accompany Swami to a devotee's house.
Okay.
In Bangalore. It was a very beautiful thing. I think you would have seen pictures of Swami having a little child, you know, wrapped
in his lap.
And Swami materialized a, I could say, a huge necklace for that child. She was barely a little more than a feet, you know, tall. And Swami materialized a huge diamond necklace for that child, named that child, played with her. And I still remember, you know, she was lying at Swami, on Swami's lap with her eyes closed. And Swami named her Shri Nidhi.
Okay.
And when Swami said Shri Nidhi, she opened her eyes and looked at Swami.
Wow. You know, again, Prem, talking about naming and children and birth. Well, I don't know whether it's with mixed feelings, you know, that a few days back in the early hours of the morning at about 4:20 p.m., you know, an era came to an end in Puttaparthi. An era which lasted about 50 years, starting from 1962. It came to an end with the little Satyagita shedding her mortal coil. You know, for some of our listeners who may be unaware, Satyagita was a little elephant that was brought to Prashanthinilayam after Swami's dear Sai Gita passed away in 2007. And in the same year, 2007, Satyagita came to Parthi as a calf, few years old. And she has grown and she had, you know, mighty, mighty shoes to fill. Because the majestic and great Sai Gita had left such a legacy behind. And everybody in Puttaparthi were excited that someone has come to fill in that role, you know. And at the Brahma Murtam hour, you know, Swami says, every day is divided into a sattvic time, a rajasic time and a tamasic time. 8 hours, 8 hours, 8 hours each. And the time from morning 4 o'clock till morning 8 o'clock and from evening 4 o'clock to evening 8 o'clock is considered as a sattvic time, a holy time. And especially the morning time is considered like the Brahma Muhurtam. So at about 4:20 a.m., which happens to be right in the Brahma Muhurtam, on the Ekadashi day, the 11th day of the Uttarayanam, you know, Uttarayanam is a period in time which is considered as very holy, a very sacred time when everybody must focus everything on God. And that is why, you know, the festival of Sankranti comes during this time. And in the institute, we see the sports meet where everybody is focusing on Swami during this time. In fact, as we had discussed, the legendary grandsire of the Mahabharata, Bhishma, he too decided to leave the earthly abode during this time.
It's a good time to start anything, because I remember even when we were students, a lot of things Swami would say that, you know, start after Uttarayanam. When Swami used to give jobs, Swami used to say, let Uttarayanam come.
Exactly. You know, and therefore, in our culture, death is not considered as an end. It is considered as the beginning of a journey, because it is said that just as the soul changes, just as the person changes clothes, the soul changes bodies. And therefore, to start this journey of leaving the body and progressing ahead, Uttarayanam is considered as a holy time. And it was on the Ekadashi day in the Uttarayanam that little Krishna Gita, little Satya Gita, there has been a confusion. Many times people refer to her as Krishna Gita, some as Satya Gita. Found out that her name that Swami gave to her is Satya Gita. Mm-hmm. And that was the day Satya Gita passed away. And yes, you know, we were there. It is definitely an end of an era of elephants in Prashanthi Nilayam. 50 golden years of an elephant in Prashanthi Nilayam.
You could even say that end of an era of Swami's pets. Because I don't think anymore we will have Swami's pets. We might have other animals coming and, you know, gracing the ashram. But the era of Swami fondling and fostering pets ended with Satya Gita, because she was the last of Swami's pets who had that kind of a physical proximity with Swami.
I remember Prem, when she came, she was hardly about 3.5 feet high.
Very mischievous.
Very mischievous. And she arrived here on the 21st of July in 2007. And it was so sweet. Swami went to visit. She was in a massive shed, actually, because this shed originally belonged to Sai Gita behind the planetarium. And in that shed now, there was a tiny resident. And this little one, she was tied with a small chain. The chains that used to bind Sai Gita were huge. This one was a very tiny chain. And she was very frisky, jumping around, moving here. And Swami came. And Swami fed her with some fruits. One interesting thing was just 2 days after that. That was, I think, July 23rd. Mm-hmm. There's a ceremony called the Annaprasa ceremony that is done in all Indian families. That is the first time a baby is given rice. So, in what could be considered as a kind of Annaprasa ceremony, Swami came to visit little Satya Gita. When he had come, they had brought sweet pongal, because they felt, you know, Annaprasa is the first time that a baby eats rice. When Swami saw that, he said, you know, when it's a baby, a human baby, you feed rice. Elephants don't eat rice. So Swami performed the same ceremony by feeding her with some sugarcane
leaves and stem.
Sugarcane, you know, sweet sugarcane with the leaves, because sugarcane leaves was a favorite. He's a favorite of elephants. And when he fed that to her, you know, Swami's eyes became a little moist and he kept telling, Gita, Gita, Gita. I was there photographing this incident or event or whatever you may call it. And as I saw this, I just felt how lucky must be Gita. You know, no wonder that the little elephant was named Satya Gita, because it looked for me as if Swami did not mind what you put as a prefix, you know. It has to be Gita, because that was Swami's connection with Satya Gita's predecessor, Sai Gita. And I feel it would be very apt that we dedicate this satsang of ours to this great devotee of the Lord, who won the Lord's heart, who moved with the Lord, who lived with the Lord, who grew with the Lord, and who merged into the Lord, with whom the Lord shared so much, so much. I feel that by sharing her stories, we will get an insight into his stories as well. And it will inspire us and fill us with love and devotion for him.
Very true, Arvind. I mean, even as I was telling that, you know, Swami's pets, it felt very weird, because Sai Gita was never Swami's pet. You know, you could never put her in that image of being Swami's pet. Because she was somebody who was leading us all in devotion. You know, she was standing out as an example for everybody. And, you know, even when you speak to some of the devotees who used to come from overseas or even from other parts of India, in those days, they used to feel that their pilgrimage to Swami was not complete if they had not gone and visited Sai Gita. Because she was like a, an epitome of devotion for all of us.
A model. In fact, she might not have been Swami's pet, as in the meaning of an animal pet, but she was definitely Swami's pet. ever since her arrival, right now what is welling up within me is that poignant day, the 22nd of May. That was the day when Sai Geeta gave up her mortal coil. And the way it happened, they say, you can judge the way a person has lived his life by the way a person ends his life, The death shows how the life has been. And if that statement has any meaning in it, it is so profound to see the events that happened before, during and after Sai Geeta shedding of the mortal coil. They were simply phenomenal. To start off with, Swami, for the first time ever, when he had taken his boys to Kodaikanal, they say that Prashanthi Nilayam is Bhagwan's office. Somewhere a devotee has stated like that Prashanthi Nilayam is like Bhagwan's office, Vrindavan is like his home, and Kodaikanal is like his playground. So in every summer, Swami takes the boys there, and usually it's like, in our life also, we go from office to home and home to playground and back to home and then to office. So Swami also from Prashanthi Nilayam would go to Vrindavan, then go to Kodai, and then come back to Vrindavan and then come to Parthi. This was almost a set routine. Nobody even thought of any other way that this would happen.
Actually, one more reason why Swami used to do that was the unbearable heat in Puttaparthi.
Correct.
Swami would say that I was born here. For me, this heat does not matter. Swami would say the devotees are inconvenienced.
And in comparison, Bangalore, which is 800 meters above sea level, is very
little
cool.
Especially in summer months, it's much more pleasant than...
At least about 5 to 10 degrees.
That is one of the reasons why Swami used to always make it a point to, if not any other part of the year, the summer months he would be in Vrindavan.
And summer, especially the months of May and June in Prashanthi Nilayam and Puttaparthi, are almost unbearable. They get very, very, very hot. And that is why it was surprising that in 2007, right in the middle of May, in the peak of summer, in Kodaikanal, Swami stated that he would not be returning to Vrindavan, but to Prashanthi Nilayam. It was an amazing thing to start off with. And nobody realized why that was.
Yeah, and preparations had actually already begun in Vrindavan, expecting Swami back. They had started, erecting all those pandals and all that.
Yeah.
But suddenly, change of plan, Swami said, I'm coming back to Parthi.
And that year was the year I got the chance to join Radio Sai. Okay. So I had just completed my education, and Swami had told me that on June 1st you can join Radio Sai. Mm-hmm. So this was when Swami arrived here. It was in the middle of May, I think May 17th or 18th. So I was very excited, because just a fortnight and then I would be joining Radio Sai. I would be beginning my so-called, in within quotes, career. And I was in the airport and Swami got down from the flight. I was taking photographs. I did not know, people told me that on the way back from the airport to the mandir, apparently Swami had stopped at Sai Geeta Shed.
I even read that somewhere, Swami seemed stopped. Usually the thing would be, Swami has also told it, so many cars keep passing on that main road. But the moment Swami's car comes, she would know it.
Sai Geeta.
Sai Geeta would know it, that Swami's car is coming, and she would become restless and show typical signs of her ears would start flapping violently, and she would sway up and down. And if she is unbound, she would come out and stand at the gate. But that day, she was kind of, mild, and she was not showing the typical excitement, which was, her wont. And Swami also would either stop or, roll down the window, and kind of, there would be a little interaction there. But that day, Swami did stop near Sai Geeta's shed. And Sai Geeta also was looking at Swami's direction, almost like their eyes just locked for a few moments. And Swami didn't even have a smile. Swami just stared at her for a while. Mm. And the caretaker of Sai Geeta, Mr. Pedareddy, hope he will, have the opportunity to talk a little more about him as we go on. He was saying that there was something weird about that moment when Swami looked at her, stared, and Swami just moved on.
We were just speaking about Swami stopping at Sai Geeta's shed. The shed that we are talking about here is a very, very special one, was actually a mansion. Swami had agreed for an indoor stadium to be constructed for the sake of the students. That was exactly the area, if you can say, that was Sai Geeta's empire, filled with trees and just one tall shed in which Sai Geeta stayed. And that was the area that had been marked out for building the indoor stadium. And so the trees were felled, and as the trees were felled and the construction began, one could see that Sai Geeta was very, very agitated.
Mm-hmm.
She felt that her world was crumbling around her, and she became very restless. She used to fret and fume, and when this was brought to Swami's notice, Swami was so concerned about her. He said, it is natural that she feels like this. So they wanted to construct a shed for Sai Geeta, another shed away from this, away from this construction site, so that she doesn't see all this and get restless. But Swami said no. There was a reason why Swami had put Sai Geeta's shed bang opposite to the boys' hostel.
Mm-hmm.
It was because, this is what becomes evident now, that Sai Geeta had a great love for Swami's boys. And only reason why she had that love was because
Swami has love.
Exactly. And maybe more importantly, I feel she was kept there as an example for all boys to see.
Very true.
Every time you go to the institute, you may not see Swami because Swami is in the mandir. But Sai Geeta's shed is bang opposite. You cannot go anywhere else from the hostel without having Sai Geeta's darshan. And if we hear the word Geeta, what comes to our mind is Lord Krishna's immortal message. The message of Lord Krishna is Geeta. And maybe the Geeta, our dear Geeta elephant, was Sai's Geeta. A message for all the boys. And so, when this shed construction came up, Swami said, no. Build it closer. Let her come closer. Don't build it far away. Let her come closer to me. And at the same time, let the shed be closer to the road, because every time I go on the road, she wants to have darshan. And that is why a space near the planetarium was set
within
aside. Within the compound of the planetarium, it was set aside. A temporary shed was erected behind the planetarium. And this was a magnificent mansion, in fact. The architecture of the mansion was so beautiful.
The beautiful thing was, the same person who did the architecture, the carvings and the designs for Swami's mandir, he was called by Swami and asked to do that. Sai Geeta's.
I remember, in fact, some of the foreigners who came, they were under the assumption that here this big area is going to be a stadium where boys will be playing games. And just like we have a Shanti Vedika in the stadium for Swami to sit and view, they thought this was a kind of Vedika that was being built for Swami to sit and view the games.
Because the same person, he had only done the Shanti Vedika, he had done all these statues. And of course, so many events happen in a span of one event. I remember that day when Swami had gone, this particular architect who had done the whole thing,
Shilpi Subramaniam.
Shilpi Subramaniam. It seems Swami had told him that you have done so much beautiful work for me, that whenever I see all these buildings, I'll think of you.
Wow. In fact, that legendary Hanuman statue that they tell about, when the Hanuman statue was being built on top of the hill, people were, the engineers were actually flummoxed. They had no idea how to build a standing Hanuman. His arm was so heavy because it is carrying the hill. Sanjeevani Hill. So they felt that his arm would collapse and the wind speeds at that height.
Because it was a valley, even when you were talking about the aerosports and all that, one of the challenges of doing that in this Indo Stadium, in the Hillview Stadium, was the heavy currents which were there because it being a valley.
Exactly. So being a valley, winds from all directions focus and flow into it.
True.
And so they had no idea how to make Hanuman stand. It was at that time that Swami materialized a golden Hanuman statue. And on that statue, the beautiful idea struck the engineers. If you see the current Hanuman statue also, you will see that the top cloth that Hanuman has used to wrap around his body, that cloth falls from his left arm, onto his left thigh. That is where the engineers got the idea that can be made with solid concrete and be used as a prop to support the arm. That was such an elegant and brilliant idea. And the Hanuman statue, that was how it came up. This small gold statue which Swami materialized to give the engineers an idea, is currently at the home of Shilpi Subramanyam.
Oh, okay. I mean, coming back to Sai Geeta's, like, you know, somebody who was so dear to him, in terms of construction, somebody whom Swami trusted and Swami, whose work Swami loved a lot. Swami
even
chose
the,
him to do.
Even the slides, that elephant slide in primary school and the other rhino slide in primary school, all these have been designed by the same person, same architect.
So Swami kind of, you know, commissioned this holy task to him, and Swami wanted him to do this thing. And even when you look at it, who would see an elephant shade like that? I don't think even the rajas of
none of the royal stables would have had.
Yeah,
there are grand chandeliers
fans for her.
So magnificent. At that time, Prem, little did we realize that this shed would be the final ever shed for Sai Geeta, where she would rest not for a few years, but for decades and centuries to come.
In fact, you know, Pedaredi says that when Swami was planning this thing, as you said, initially they had a plan of putting her, you know, shed behind the indoor stadium. That was the initial plan. Then Swami said, no, it should be near the main road. And when Swami was discussing the plan, Swami told Pedaredi, we'll build a permanent residence for her.
Aha.
And Pedaredi said, yeah, I had a hint that he thought maybe this is going to be her final home, not that this is going to be her samadhi. But then it did turn out to be her permanent home.
I do not know exactly the sequence of events that led to her physical passing. But this much I know, Prem, that the day she passed away, I don't think ever it has happened in the history that Swami attends a funeral. Even before attending the funeral, Swami came to have a look at the body. It was such a moving sight. I went there, I followed there, because I knew this was a historic occasion. It has to be photographed, it has to be documented, so that posterity will see what this devotee meant for Swami. Swami got down from the car. He had packets of vibhuti that he had carried along with him from Yajur Mandir. And as soon as he got down from the car, he began to open the packets one by one and began to pour it onto Geeta's, the lifeless body of Geeta was there in her bathing pit. And on it, Swami began to pour vibhuti. And he asked for a wheelchair to be taken front. He bent down. And so lovingly, you know, I get tears in my eyes. Even as I imagine that scenario, that picturized that day. Swami bent and with his own hands, gently caressed Geeta's trunk with vibhuti. And Swami, you know, we have heard of devotees chanting the Lord's name to get redemption. But here, you know, Swami was saying, Geeta, Geeta, Geeta. Oh, it was such a moving sight. And then immediately Pedaredi, whom we spoke about, Geeta's caretaker, and maybe the next best friend after Swami for her, he came. And the next sight is unforgettable. It was so powerful. It is so powerful that I simply could not even take a picture of that. I was so lost. I just forgot that even I had a camera. I didn't even take a picture of that event, of that scene, that moment. Pedaredi came running to Swami. He said, Swami, Swami. And he began to cry, and Swami looked at him, Reddy. And Swami also began to cry. Both of them are holding their hands. It was, you know, when an elder in the family, maybe a mother or a father, passes away, the siblings, the brothers, they hug each other. No words are exchanged because each of them know what the person meant. And they just, you know, this is what was happening there. Swami and Pedaredi holding each other's hand and Sai Geeta lying there. And Swami also shed tears. Pedaredi shed tears.
Talking about Swami shedding tears, I reminded Arvind, just few days later, maybe we'll mention it later, when Swami came to the auditorium and addressed the students, Swami started speaking about this event of Sai Geeta's passing away. And again, Swami broke down. You know, and Swami told these very profound words. Swami said, this is not grief. I have no grief. This is not attachment.
Correct.
Swami said, this is Vatsalyam.
Vatsalyam is what a mother feels for a child.
He said, the same feeling that a mother feels when that newborn child is brought to her, seeing that purity and seeing the dependence of the child on the mother, the emotion that wells up in the mother, that is the feeling which is choking me now when I think of Geeta.
And at that time, you know, you get a glimpse of the kind of wisdom or the kind of a realized soul, a great soul that Sai Gita was, because Swami said in that discourse, I remember, he said, Gita told me, how can I stay without you, Swami? I will leave before you. Swami dropped a hint even then, you know. We never knew, who would have thought at that time that it would be just another 4 years after which Swami too would shed his body. None of us had even the slightest idea, even the slightest hint. But Swami mentioned in that discourse that Gita told me that I do not want to stay when you are not there. So, in fact, the translator at that time, Professor Anil Kumar sir, he looked at Swami in a shock. He asked Swami, Swami, do you want me to translate this? Swami did not say anything and he did not translate it also. But those words in Telugu are there. And Swami had indicated, and that was something that Gita recognized.
And you know, one more sign of a great soul is, Swami has also mentioned it, that they know of the impending death which is coming. Invariably, even some of the great devotees of Swami have always foretold that this is going to happen. And Swami in that discourse actually said, the day before she had told Petha Reddy that I'm leaving tomorrow.
You know, you speak to Petha Reddy, he speaks as if Sai Gita was another human being. You know, he tells Sai Gita told me this, I told Sai Gita this. I have not yet come to know of many of the revelations. But when he speaks thus, you wonder. He speaks normally. If suppose I tell, you know, today I went to studio and I was talking to Prem. Prem told me an amazing thing. Petha Reddy speaks of Sai Gita that way. He says, and Sai Gita told me that, you know, Swami will be coming. I wonder how Sai Gita spoke. But
in fact, that was the thing, you know, just the day before Swami gave this discourse, Petha Reddy was telling this very same thing, that Sai Gita told me that she's leaving.
Oh.
And that time, as you were saying, you know, it was a kind of a weird thing for people like us to accept, and Swami actually said it in his discourse. Swami said, yes, she did tell Petha Reddy that she's leaving. I think it's something which only Swami, Sai Gita and Petha Reddy would understand.
And we can just marvel at it. In the Treta Yuga, there is the story that is spoken about, you know, this beautiful relationship that exists between a lord and an animal devotee. It is because oftentimes devotees, we all try to battle our animal instincts to reach the lord. And here are some few blessed animals that have got divine instincts in them. I mean, you look at the life of Jatayu, the eagle bird, they say, it was very blessed. The bird was very blessed because Lord Rama performed the funeral rites of this bird that gave up his life for the sake of Rama. And that was a privilege that even Lord Rama's own father, earthly father, Dasharatha, did not enjoy. His pyre was not lit by Rama. But here was Jatayu's pyre that was lit by Rama. You know, Prem, I get goosebumps even as I think of this. Just imagine, Swami's own physical parents did not have Swami physically there during the funeral. But Sai Gita, the only funeral that Swami ever attended in his earthly sojourn was the funeral of Sai Gita. And on that day, the bulldozers came, those cranes came, I mean, to lift, because that was the only way you could lift Sai Gita's body and place it in the samadhi. When they were lifting, it took almost 1 to 1.5 hours for the whole process of Sai Gita's body being picked up and put into the samadhi. Swami was there in the hot sun, just sitting and watching. And he was there during throughout the proceedings. He sacks full of salt and then vibhuti after that were poured. And Swami, all the gold, the finery, the jewelry, the cloth, all the way the elephant is caparisoned.
You know, she was, Petha Reddy describes, when Swami was told, Swami called him to the mandir and Swami gave him clear instructions what are the things which have to be, you know, laid with her. Swami chose the jewelry which has to go, chose the kind of things which has to go, some of the food which has to be cooked, you know, kept along with her. Swami literally chose every one of those things which had to go.
In fact, Prem, I remember you were saying that the previous night Swami...
Yeah, actually, if you just see the flow of events, it seems that around sometime in the evening, she passed away.
evening of the previous day, 22nd.
The 22nd. And by the time they were trying to, you know, revive her. And finally, when the doctors declared that, yes, she had left her body, and Swami was informed it must be quite late in the evening. And the first thing Swami did was, Swami sent word to the cooks to make, you know, sweet rice for her.
Payasam
for her. And, you know, here is Padreddy waiting to receive instructions as to what to do. And from the canteen comes a vessel of payasam, saying that Swami asked you to feed this to her.
To the dead elephant.
To the dead elephant. Huh. And he was wondering what he was supposed to do, but at Swami's instructions had to be followed. So he rolled it into a ball, just like how Swami used to feed Sai Geeta in the earlier years. He rolled it into a ball and just lifted the elephant's mouth and dropped it there. And he said that, you know, the next day it should have fallen out, or it should remain there. But when he went and opened the mouth the next morning, it was not there. So apparently she had eaten it. And another thing, you know, even in that discourse Swami mentions, Swami said that when I went in the morning, she opened her eyes and saw me. And Padreddy actually describes what happens, that, you know, when Swami came, Swami calls him and Swami says, open her eyes. And he was surprised because, you know, by the time Swami came, it was a good 14-15 hours after she had died. And typically elephants, even their trunks become solid and, you know, stiff.
Stiff, yeah.
He won't be able to move. But he was able to open her eyelids. And Swami looked at her eyes and Swami said, she was seeing me. And I mean, isn't it so similar to that episode of Swami coming to visit Subhamma?
Subhamma.
And, I mean, if not for Sai Geeta, for whom would Swami do this?
I really wonder, because even Subhamma, Swami brought back to life, and after that when she passed away, Swami sent blessings. But Swami never attended a funeral. That is what is the point that strikes me so poignantly. And here Swami, not only did Swami attend the funeral, Prem, you know, it was so wonderful, beautiful and amazing that Swami even came for the 11th day ceremony. You know, when according to the Indian tradition and custom, when somebody passes away, there are different stipulated ceremonies and functions, practices that are done on different days. So there is the 11th day ceremony, there is the 13th day ceremony. According to different customs, different days are selected and chosen, because they say that the soul is at different stages and evolution of going, and it is finally after all these ceremonies are done that the soul finally leaves with satisfaction. Swami attended the 11th day ceremony for Sai Geeta. He was there in that same samadhi. No, and by then, you know, people had forgotten as such about Sai Geeta, because 10 days had passed, and yes, June had begun, the new academic year was beginning, and students were flowing in, and all that was happening. So amidst all that, Swami one day just drove out. People thought it was a drive, because Swami used to drive out very frequently those days. He would go up to the hospital and come back, or whatever, you know, go around the city and grant darshan to so many people in the fields, in the shops. But that day Swami drove straight to Sai Geeta's enclosure in the planetarium, and he visited the samadhi. I had not heard of Swami visiting any other samadhi other than his parent samadhi till then. So it was so beautiful, a tribute to this great devotee.
Indeed, I mean, just can't put in words what a relation that was, and, you know, 50 years of journey with Swami. And the very few devotees who have actually, you know, remained in Swami's heart, the same constant relationship.
Satya Geeta, I feel he was lucky, because she came after Sai Geeta, and that whole love of Swami for Sai Geeta rubbed on to Satya Geeta too.
And really, I mean, I stand corrected. Swami's love for his devotees never changes, you know. It is just that when put through different tests and tribulations, how we, you know, sometimes we don't come a cropper. We don't come measure up to Swami's expectations, and we on our own fall out. Swami's love for his devotees is always constant. But if there was one whose love for Swami remained constant, I mean, as we will describe later, her residence was shifted. She was, you know, she must have spent months without Swami's presence. And she was not like the other devotees who could come and sit for darshan. Unless Swami chose to give darshan, she would never get darshan. But her love for Swami was always constant. And that is why she stands as an inspiration to all of us today. So maybe before we move on with this discussion, I would like to play that song which singer Sumit Tapu sang. And this was quite after Sai Geeta's passing away. And I still remember when he sang that song, again Swami became emotional thinking of Sai Geeta. I think not only Swami, all of us were moved to tears when he sang that song. Before we move on with this discussion, let's listen to that song.
Sai Geeta hai Bhakti Swarupa Sai Geeta hai Prem Swarupa Bhakti ki जीवन भर जिसने साईं की शक्ति से चल गई सृष्टि से चली गई सृष्टि से साईं गीता है भक्ति स्वरूप Sai Geeta hai Bachpan Geeta Sai ke sang Sai ke sang khe Maa beti sa rishta unka rehti nahi खोज ही लेती वो साईं को नई नई युक्ति से चल गई सृष्टि से चल गई सृष्टि से साईं गीता है भक्ति स्वरूपा साईं गीता शबरी जैसा भक्ति भाव था हनुमान सी ब्रह्मचारी शबरी जैसा भक्ति भाव था हनुमान सी ब्रह्मचारी प्रेम की अंतर ज्योति में ज्ञानवान वो आज्ञाकार साईं के हाथों से विभूति खाई सदा तृप्ति से चल गई सृष्टि से चल गई सृष्टि से साईं गीता है भक्ति स्वरूपा साईं गीता है प्रेम स्वरूपा साईं 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 दवा थे उनकी प्रेरणा और आदर्श बनी वो साईं के भक्तों की हृदय बसी वो सत्य साई के अपनी इस मुक्ति से हृदय बसी वो सत्य साई के अपनी इस मुक्ति से चल गई सृष्टि से चल गई सृष्टि से साईं गीता है भक्ति स्वरूपा साईं गीता है प्रेम स्वरूपा भक्ति की जीवन भर जिसने साईं की शक्ति से चल गई सृ सृष्टि से चली गई सृष्टि से।
Indeed, beautiful lyrics there, Arvind. I mean, brahmachari like Hanuman and a devotee like Shabari.
Hearing to the lyrics, Prem, I was just thinking that it is as if whatever we plan to speak today, Brother Sumit Tappu has summarized it in his single song, because it is such an apt and perfect description of Sai Geeta. Ever since she came to Swami early in 1962,
exactly, and she was just a few months old baby, and the old devotees describe how she was literally a bundle of joy for Swami, you know, just 2.5-3 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And it so happened, in fact, Swami himself has described how Sai Geeta came to him.
Mm-hmm.
It seems once when Swami was driving past the Mudumalai forest,
mm-hmm,
on his way to Bangalore, that is when he came across this little cub. Mm-hmm. And they have this kidha operation.
Correct. Where they trap elephants.
Elephants. Yeah, they dig a huge pit, cover it with leaves, and they go into the forest beating drums, kind of making these elephant herds go in a particular direction where this pit is built, and trap them. So that is how they were trapping these elephants when this little cub lost her mother. She somehow escaped this operation, and so she was like kind of, you know, taken away from the group. And when Swami found that this little child was a motherless cub, Swami readily kind of, you know, took her to Vrindavan. And Swami used to say, Swami was telling in the discourse how Swami used to dip his fingers in honey and put it in this little baby's mouth.
Literally like feeding a little baby. And she became Swami's little baby, you know.
And Swami said that is how I took her place of a mother. That is how she forgot, you know, the grief of losing her mother.
And what a mother she gained
and
in return.
Became a mother.
No, how lucky was Sai Geeta to gain the universal mother as her mother. She would follow Swami everywhere. In fact, devotees say that Swami used to give a 1-hour interview daily to Sai Geeta. And Swami would take Sai Geeta into the interview room.
Exactly. You know, some of these old students who were there at that time, they used to tell Swami to come catch her trunk and put it under his arm.
Okay.
Like, you know, how you take a small kid.
Huh.
And Swami used to walk into the interview room and she used to obediently follow. And for 1 hour, I don't know what Swami would speak to her, what she would speak to Swami. But this would went on for so many years till she outgrew the interview room door.
In fact, till then, her room was right next to Swami's bedroom.
Right.
That was where she used to stay. But once she grew bigger, you know the current Kulwant Hall, towards the end of it we have this Rama Lakshmana Sita statue.
Exactly.
That was a spot where Swami said to make a residence for her, because he wanted her very close to him.
Earlier, her residence was just a tree which was beside where you have this the ladies' side entrance gate.
Correct.
There used to be a tree and she used to be tied up there from a place where she could just look up and
literally see Swami every time.
Yeah, the first few years, it was like that. She used to be there. And whenever she was hungry, she just used to look up at Swami's window and, you know, give out a small cry. And Swami would come down, or Swami would send her food. And maybe Swami would come down himself to feed her. And then after that, of course,
for her, more important than the food was to feed on Swami's beautiful form. It was that feast for the eyes that she longed for. And it became evident when the engineer who was given charge of constructing this residence, this shed for Sai Geeta, he constructed it exactly at the spot where Swami had told him, but he made one small error. The shed was facing the east,
mm-hmm,
while, you know, the mandir
is in the southern
east to the south of the shed. So because it was facing east, there was a wall in the southern direction, and Sai Geeta could not have a look at her beloved Swami whenever she wished. You know what she did? She just tore down this tin and concrete structure in no time. And people were so, you know, worried as to what happened. I mean, an elephant doing this is not a good sign. Swami said she did this because she didn't have my darshan. Let her have my darshan, she'll be fine. And a new shed was built exactly at the same spot, facing the south, so that any time Sai Geeta saw, she could see the mandir and Swami, and Sai Geeta was back as peaceful as ever.
And you know, some of the early descriptions of her, Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram, she used to describe of her early days in the 50, in the early 60s when they used to come. She would be up in the morning, early in the morning, and they would take her for a bath. And the first thing she would do is come and do pradakshinas to the mandir.
Pradakshinas, going around
going
the...
circumambulating, you know, the shrine. And all these children and Sangeeta used to go around the mandir and come and off. She used to bow down in front of the Ganesha, which was there in front of the circle. And she would wait there for Swami to come down.
She must have felt some kinship with Ganesha, no? just like we identify with human-like gods, she would have found an elephant-like god for her.
Definitely. I think it's there for all of us. You know, the moment you see an elephant, you kind of remember Ganesha. So, you know, after that circumambulation, she would stand waiting at the entrance of mandir with a garland. So the first thing Swami comes out, she used to offer the garland and take Swami's Pad Namaskar.
And she continued to stay in that shed where it was built near the current day Rama Lakshmana Sita statue till almost 1975, I think.
Okay. Yeah, that, exactly. When Swami's 50th birthday celebrations
during
began.
The 50th birthday celebrations, there were such huge crowds for Swami's darshan that Sai Geeta's shed had to be moved elsewhere. You know, that was the year when Swami gave darshan in the helicopter.
True. I think, you know, Swami's concern would have been equally for the devotees and for Sai Geeta.
And for Sai Geeta. Swami's concern is always Samasta Loka Sukhina Bhavanti, no? For the whole world.
Swami would have felt that the crowd would disturb her as much as, you know, her presence would take away so much of the crowd.
Because whether we are sadhakas or not, Prem, I'm convinced that she was a great sadhaka, a spiritual aspirant who came here only for Swami. You mentioned Geeta Mohan Ram. I remember she narrating an episode where she said that when Swami had to visit her home in Bangalore, Sai Geeta, as you said, will always be with Swami. In fact, when Swami used to go to Vrindavan, Sai Geeta would walk up with breaks in between so that she could stay with Swami in Vrindavan.
And even in Vrindavan, she used to have a residence just beside Swami's bungalow.
And so when Swami was leaving for Dr. Padmanabhan's house, Geeta came and, you know, she just did not want to allow. She would miss Swami because Swami would be going for 2 days. And she would know. People would not know for how many days, for how long, where is Swami going, but Sai Geeta apparently would know, because if Swami was going to go for an inauguration or for one evening and be back, she would not be like this. But if Swami was leaving out for 2 days or 3 days, she would come, block the car and, you know, create a scene, in fact. How on earth would she come to know that Swami is going for a longer period or was not going for a long period? Absolutely no idea. I mean, that is the divine connection. And so Geeta Mohan Ram, she narrates, she says that when Swami was feeding fruits to Geeta, she would just not take them.
Mm-hmm.
It was like when a child...
trying to pacify me.
Yeah, you know, when a child is crying, the mother goes and brings a rattle and starts making some sound, the child is fascinated, she gives the rattle and walks off. The child plays with the rattle for some time, suddenly realizes, hey... this was not what I was crying for.
Distraction.
Throws the rattle away and again starts wailing. 2-3 times the mother tries, but when everything else fails, finally she goes, picks up the baby and puts it to her bosom. And Sai Geeta was such an advanced baby in that she would never be satisfied with rattles and toys. She wanted Swami. And in fact, on that occasion, Swami said, see, she does not want the fruits that I give because she wants me. This is such an important lesson for all of us, because on many occasions Swami has told the students, why do you aspire and go behind the creation when you have the creator? And here was Sai Geeta showing the right priorities. And so Sai Geeta, as I got into this very, very correct side story, but Sai Geeta had to be moved. So at that time, currently where the Subramanya temple is there, you know, next to the Ganesha temple,
right,
somewhere towards that end, that is towards the, not that end, the bank opposite the other end of the ashram.
Okay.
That is where the current stores building is somewhere.
Okay.
Somewhere over there. That is the southwest corner.
Mm-hmm.
The southwest corner of the ashram, a shed was built for Sai Geeta.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami noticed that, you know, she may get lonely there. And within an year, that is, Swami got the Gokulam, Satisai Gokulam built. I think it was about 1976 or something.
Mm-hmm.
That was when Swami said, move Sai Geeta along with the other cows there.
Mm-hmm.
And so she found residence in the Gokulam. She was another cow, you know, a huge, big cow, and with all other little cows. So, little compared to her. she got her residence in Gokulam. The distance never brought about any separation from Swami, because when Swami says, don't try to be near to Swami, try to be dear to Swami, that is what she had pined, aspired and got. You know where the current primary school is. True. And you know where the Gokulam is.
Yes.
There's almost nearly 400 meters to half a kilometer distance between them. And Sai Geeta was living in the Gokulam. Swami visited the primary school on one occasion. Pedareddy Garu recollected this episode. Hmm. In 1976 or 77.
Okay.
Swami visited the primary school. And in the Gokulam, Sai Geeta became very restless. She just started walking. There was one small enclosure that had been made for the cows,
mm-hmm.
and Sai Geeta as well. She crossed over the enclosure, walked across the boulders, the thorny plants that were there. There was also one small pond-like thing with water in it. She crossed it. Nobody knew what happened. They thought Sai Geeta is running. Where? They had no idea. And that time there was no stadium. It was a two-level ground, which was not leveled actually. Though it was at two levels, it was not properly leveled and there were a lot of boulders, rocks and all that.
Okay.
She crossed everything and straight went to primary school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was by following Sai Geeta that they came to know that, oh my God, Swami has come. And once she reached primary school, the transformation was instantaneous. No more restlessness, just sat, comfortable and rested in the presence of Swami. That has been her love for Swami.
Exactly. Even when you're talking about her ability to sense Swami's movements, there's another incident. One of the students was narrating that one Swami was driving by and just opposite the hostel, the boys also came out to have Swami Darshan even as he was driving by. And Sai Geeta came out and apparently she was a little agitated. You know, she was not excited as she would be when she had the opportunity to see Swami.
You could make out, you know, if she's agitated, she would be flapping her ears very rapidly.
So she came by and the general practice would be Swami would stop and roll down his window and she would put her trunk inside and the first thing she would smell Swami's hair. Then she would reach for Swami's feet, even when Swami is sitting in the car. But that
she
day...
She had a long trunk.
Yeah, you know, an advantage which... one more thing which she had and we didn't have.
Mm.
But that day she didn't come and, you know, knock at Swami's window. She came and put her trunk heavily on the bonnet.
On the hood of the car.
Yeah, on the bonnet in front of the car. Okay, and she just put it there, literally saying that I want the car to stop.
Okay.
Okay, and the car stopped and Swami pulled down the window, but she was again and again banging the front of the car. So, Swami was forced to come out of the car and there was a... And immediately, you know, the boys surrounded Swami and...
Naturally, it's opposite to the boys' hostel.
And Swami was, you know, so endearingly talking to her and Swami was telling, no, leave me, Geeta, leave me. Leave me, don't worry, I'll come and all kinds of things. People are wondering what's happening. So finally, you know, Swami had to literally, it appeared like Swami relented to whatever she was asking of Swami. And Swami convinced her to go back to her shed. And then after that, Swami turned back and one of the boys handed Swami a handkerchief. Swami was wiping his hand. And then Swami looked at the boys and said, you know what Sai Geeta was doing this for? And Swami said, I was going to Vrindavan today. And all the boys were shocked because none of them had the least of the clue that Swami is actually leaving for Vrindavan. Swami said, I thought I'll slip away and go to Vrindavan. She realized that I'm going to Vrindavan. So she came to stop and protest.
See, this is what I was saying. In Vrindavan also, when he was going to Geeta Mohan Ram's, Dr. Padmanabhan's home, it was going to be for 2 days. Geeta came and created a scene. But if it was just a drive, so many times when I was a student, I have seen Swami going for a drive and Geeta is calm, sometimes even not out of the gate. She's standing behind the gate and having darshan. But somehow when, as you mentioned just now, when if it is for a longer time and Swami is trying to slip away, she catches. You know, speaking about Swami trying to slip away, I am reminded of another episode that happened once Geeta was shifted to her, let me say, one of her favorite sheds maybe. That is bang opposite to the boys' hostel.
Okay.
That happened in the late 1970s when the Gokulam was growing, the number of cows increased and Swami felt that Geeta needs her privacy even from the cows now, you know. Not only devotees disturbing, the cows also are disturbing, so a new shed had to come up. And that was when Swami decided to build it right opposite to the boys' hostel.
Specifically, Swami said, keep her opposite the boys' hostel.
Correct.
So she'll see the students also and...
I think as we felt more important that the students see her and learn from her.
Exactly.
So that was where she was shifted. And once she was shifted there, you know, it was, she must have been, in her late teenage years. Okay. And Swami, people around Swami began to tell that, Swami, she has now become an adult elephant. It's time that she goes and rears a family of her own. So otherwise, it is not like a human decision. You know, animals are built that way. They are built.
It's a biological need, and
it is built in.
Of that, you might see some violent behavior in the later years.
Different behaviors and odd behaviors. It since animals do not have this important quality of discrimination. I cannot say the same about Sai Geeta, but generally animals don't have discrimination, and therefore they cannot make decisions like this of
choosing to be a brahmachari.
Choosing to be a brahmachari, you know. So Swami agreed, and that was how Sai Geeta, they decided to take Sai Geeta to the Madhumalai forest.
Swami agreed very reluctantly. You know, initially Swami shot down the idea, but the doctors who felt that they knew better, and they were actually giving her the right advice. Finally Swami said, okay, if that's what you decide.
They might have advised Swami to not get so attached and let go, you know. Anyway, Sai Geeta took 13 days,
forest, right?
13 days to reach Madhumalai forest. She walked all the way there. And along with her were two others, Mr. Vasant, and there was one more person, two caretakers, Mr. Satyanarayana and Mr. Vasant. They accompanied Sai Geeta, and it was their duty to ensure that Sai Geeta gets along the family way. And they say that for 3 months, they tried their best. Sai Geeta would just not go to any other elephant. She would stick by herself. And they also tried some other techniques, you know, of getting some baby elephants, some calves, and pushing them near Sai Geeta so that they would ignite the motherly instinct in her and all that. They said that as long as they were there, Sai Geeta would be fine and allow those calves and cubs to move around her, play around her. The minute they would turn their back, she would shoo them away and be back in her own world, you know. This went on, and they came to know that Sai Geeta was desperate for her lord. She was already wedded in that sense. She was wedded.
I think 3 or 4 times every time she had the opportunity, she would take the road back.
That's what. Because one morning they discovered Sai Geeta was missing, and they saw that she was 7 kilometers away. She had dragged those heavy chains and walked away in the direction of Prashanthi Nilayam. She wanted to get back to Swami. This happened 2-3 times. After which, one day, they suddenly came to know that Swami, on a surprise visit, had come to Madhumalai. I am not surprised at this visit, you know. If a devotee misses the Lord so much, the Lord also misses the devotee equally. That is what Swami says. I am also in search of a devotee, just as a devotee is in search of the Lord. But when Swami came to the Madhumalai forest, he was on the other bank of the river. And when Sai Geeta came to know of it, you know, these caretakers, they were speaking about Swami in Sai Geeta's presence. So when it came to Swami and matters about Swami, Sai Geeta would understand human language, would understand human body language, everything. She just rushed, and they were worried because this river was flowing, but Sai Geeta just crossed the river on her own, went straight to Swami. Swami too opened the back of the car, and there were fruits and sweets. Swami was giving it to her. He fed her, he patted her, he petted her. And then Swami got into the car. He advised the two caretakers that, you know, try your best, all the best for some more time. I'm leaving for Prashanthi now. I'm leaving now. Immediately, the minute Swami's car drove away, the caretakers say that Sai Geeta became kind of violent. She spat out all the fruits that she had eaten. She regurgitated it, threw them out. It showed that it was not the fruits and sweets that she was after. Because they were given by Swami, it was. And now, if they are trying to use that as a distraction to keep her away from her Swami, she wanted to have none of it. So after 3 months, when they had exhausted all their ideas and they gave up, they just got back Sai Geeta to Prashanthi Nilayam. And after they got her back, came another, shall I say, funny incident, you know. Mm-hmm. The doctors who examined Sai Geeta, they tested her urine, and then they said, Sai Geeta is pregnant. That was the news that spread like wildfire.
But the caretakers were, you know, swearing.
Correct. The caretakers swore that it cannot be possible because Sai Geeta was under their watch throughout. So this happened, and Swami also was told, you know, that Sai Geeta is pregnant. And apparently Swami showed great joy. He even told Kasturi, his biographer, you know, on one or two occasions, he said, see the bulge there, there's a baby in Sai Geeta. And this was the news. The whole town actually, you know, rejoiced because they were thinking that their beloved Geeta will be now giving them a calf. When the time of delivery came, nothing happened. Hours turned into days, days turned into weeks, and there was no sign of any elephant calf. The same doctors who had pronounced that she was pregnant came and now said that no, it was a mistake, she's not pregnant. And this time, you know, like striking the iron when it is hot, Swami made a statement. Swami said, she's a Shuddha Brahmacharini. She's an absolute celibate. She will never even allow any other elephant to come near her. Her life is for Swami and Swami alone. Wow, to get that from the Lord, what a blessing. And it speaks volumes about Sai Geeta.
See, even in that final discourse which Swami gave the students, this was the very thing which Swami said. Swami said, she has come for me and she has come only for me.
And throughout her life, every time, this, towards the end, you know, when I say towards the end, it's about after 2005, 2006, after Swami had had the fall, you know, there were these police jeeps that would accompany Swami.
The siren.
Whenever Swami used to go for a run, there used to be a siren, and because of the siren, that siren would be the way that we would find out that Swami is going and we would come rushing out of the hostel. But before that, Swami used to drive alone in the car. And that time, if I may be allowed to use that term, it used to be the trunk call that would notify us about Swami, because we would hear Geeta's trumpeting and we see Sai Geeta on the road, and then we realize, oh my God, Swami is coming. Swami is coming. How she would get to know that Swami is coming, how she would know the movements of her Lord, shows that she might have been physically distant, but she was always very, very, very dear. She was the dear, dear daughter of Mother Sai.
You know, you're talking, at least there's some kind of movement when Swami comes out. There's another incident which some of the old students narrate. When Swami was invited to the hostel to inaugurate a garden.
Okay.
The rock garden which was made in the quadrangle of the hostel.
Oh my God, what all things has Swami inaugurated, right?
Really, there was...
water taps, rock gardens.
Bridge, yeah, there was a bridge which was built. Imagine, people build bridges across seas. Okay, and here the boys dug a small pit, made a pond out of it,
okay,
and built a bridge over it, and Swami came to inaugurate that bridge, walked over that bridge. I mean, really, what all Swami has done. And it was one of those Janmashtami days, you know, when Swami was invited to inaugurate this rock garden and this little flower bed. And Swami said, yeah, after the program is over, I'll come. So Swami came and, you know, Swami cut the ribbon and inaugurated the garden, spent some time there. And then Swami moved out. And Swami came out to the entrance of the hostel, and Swami very, very softly and tenderly said, Geeta, Geeta. And you know, the boys around Swami said, even the boys in the third or fourth row wouldn't have heard Swami. That was how soft Swami's call was. And from nowhere, you know, Sai Geeta came out of her enclosure and came towards Swami.
Oh my God.
Just a whisper, you know, Swami called her, Geeta, Geeta, and she was there.
They say that it is only in the depths of silence that the voice of God is heard. This incident shows us the kind of depths of silence in which Geeta was always residing in. For she could hear her Lord from nowhere, from such a great distance also.
I'm reminded of that beautiful story, they say, a submerged temple of bells. Have you heard that story? It is believed there was a legend that there was a temple of bells, that there were about thousands of bells in the temple, and they were ringing all the time. And which time this was submerged by the ocean.
Okay.
And the legend was that even now, if you go to that seashore, and if you were to concentrate, you can hear the bells ringing.
Okay.
But only thing is, you'll have to hear the bells ringing in spite of the waves lashing. So there was this man who would go every day and, you know, sit at the seashore trying to hear the bells ring. but the sounds of the waves were so overwhelming that he could never hear. After months of sitting at the seashore, when, you know, he could hear beyond the waves, when the waves sounded like silence to him, one after the other, he heard the bells ring. And I think, you know, Gita's response to Swami's call was like that. That there was so much noise, but since her focus was only on Swami's voice, that, you know, Swami's presence was known to her, you know, in spite of all the commotion around, all the noise around.
You know, Prem, it's almost 1:40 in our studios now. And before we conclude this satsang, I don't want to miss playing that beautiful song that was specially composed on Sai Gita. This happened after her samadhi, and a video was made on Sai Gita, and this video was shown to Swami also, and Swami watched it with rapt attention. He neither smiled nor did he shed a tear. He just watched. The kind of focus, it reminded me that this kind of focus only a devotee has for the Lord. And here was the Lord reflecting the same focus onto a devotee who had him as her focus throughout her life. And now we cannot play the video on air, but if we can play that audio, that song, it's in Telugu. It has been composed in 5-6 different ragas to match the theme. It will be beautiful to hear that song even if we do not understand it. For it sings out the different aspects of Sai Gita's love for her mother Sai. And the song goes by saying that, "O Sai Gita, you are the dear daughter of our Lord Sai, and your glory shall remain as long as Lord Sai's glory remains."
Yes, dear listeners, it's a very beautiful song, and it's a very beautiful video too. And if you want to watch the video, you can go to our website. It's there. It's a video which was viewed by Swami. It was made specially only for Swami, and we released it last year.
In fact, the word Gita also means the song.
The song.
So, Sai Gita, this is a Gita about Gita.
Satya Sai Bhagavanu Nimuddu Bittavamma. Satya Sai Bhagavanu Nimuddu Bittavamma. Nee Nirmala Bhakti Ki Saati Leramma. Nee Nirmala Bhakti Ki Saati Leramma. Sai Neetamma. Satya Sai Bhagavanu Nimuddu Bittavamma. అడవిలో పుట్టావు అమ్మను కోల్పోయావు. అడవిలో పుట్టావు అమ్మను కోల్పోయావు. అమ్మా అమ్మా అంటూ ఎలుగెత్తి పిలిచావు. గుండె కరిగి పట్టి సాయి అడిగి చేర్చుకున్నాడు. కన్న బిడ్డలా సాకి తల్లి ప్రేమ పంచాడు. సత్య సాయి భగవాను నిమ్ము కృతయుగాన హరిగాచిన గజరాజువని శ్రీకాళహస్తిలోన శివుని భక్తురాలివు. ఏ పూర్వ పుణ్యమో స్వామి దరికి చేరావు. ఏ జన్మ బంధమో స్వామి మనసు దోచావు. సత్య సాయి భగవాను నిమ్ము పెట్టమ్మా. చేతలతో సాయిని అలరించావు.
నీ చిలిపి చేతలతో సాయిని అననించా, స్వామి కురులు ముదాడి ప్రేమ పంచీచ్చా, స్వామి కురులు ముదాడి ప్రేమ పంచీచ్చా, సత్య సాయి భగవానుని భక్తితో కొలిచావు, సత్య సాయి భగవానుని భక్తితో కొలిచావు, స్వామి క్షణం మరుగైతే కన్నీరు ఇంకా, సత్య సాయి భగవానుని ముద్దు పెట్టవమ్మా. సాయి వైభవం కనులార చూశావు, సత్య సాయి వైభవం కనులార చూశావు, ఆ వైభవ దీప్తిలో జీవిని చిందించావు, దైవం మదిలో నిలిచిన భక్తురాలివమ్మ, సాయి నామమున్న వరకు చిరంజీవివమ్మ, సాయి నామమున్న వరకు చిరంజీవి భగవానుని ముద్దు పెట్టవమ్మా, సత్య సాయి భగవానుని ముద్దు పెట్టవమ్మా.
Very, very beautiful words, and even as you were telling me the song was going on, so difficult to translate these words, so very beautiful in the end, as long as Swami's name rules this world, you shall be remembered.
The poetry in Telugu cannot be expressed in English. It is such a beautiful way of saying that Sai Gita, your glories and stories will live on forever. The poet says that your glories will end when Swami's glories end. Well, how can Swami's glories ever end? So beautiful, Prem. And for Sai Gita, as we discussed, everything about Swami was lovable. And so it is no wonder that Swami's boys were loved a lot by her.
No, quite true. Because when the decision had to be taken where to house her, I think it was very clear for Swami that Swami wanted to keep her opposite the boys' hostel, as
the
you said.
The only lady allowed to be among the boys.
And because, as you said, it is for boys to see her, you know, Swami used to tell why Hanuman is kept on the hilltop. You know, when you're approaching Puttaparthi, the first thing you see is the Hanuman. Because where Swami is saying that is the example of devotion I want my devotees to see. And similarly, Sai Gita was placed opposite the boys' hostel so that the boys see her and, you know, get inspired by her love.
You know, two, if you see one brahmachari and one brahmacharini to show ideal celibacy.
True. And also because, you know, she would always allow boys to play with her, come with her. And I mean, so I think even you would have been a witness when she would come to the ground and play football with the boys.
I'd seen such things only in the circus. And there the elephants would do that because they're poked and prodded. Here on her own, Sai Gita would come and play football. Yeah, it was amazing.
And, you know, Swami would give instructions. It seems once she came to the stadium and Pedaredi was carrying with him an old tire with him, you know, and he would roll it around and she would come and play with it. And it seems Swami had instructed him that take a tire like this and, you know, play. So that there's some form of exercise for her apart from just walking around. And one day it seems Pedaredi came with a huge rope.
Mm.
And he said Swami had instructed him to make her play tug of war with the boys.
Oh, the boys would have loved that challenge.
Yeah, there were about 25 boys holding one end of the rope and she was holding the other end of the rope. And as the boys described, she was pulling behind as though there was nobody on the other end of the rope. She was just strolling away and the rest of the boys were being dragged by her. You know, I think every batch of students who passed out would have some memory like this. There was another boy, a senior of mine, who was saying that he had gotten the habit of offering something to her every time, you know, he would see her. He would carry some biscuits or something in a pocket. So one day he happened to meet her in the stadium when he had gone to play there. The first thing she did was she came and reached out to his pocket.
Uh-huh.
And the moment she found there was nothing in the pocket, she just turned the head and walked off.
Really, so blessed indeed Sai Gita is. And Yes, Prem, you should narrate even what you said about the stores.
Really, you know, very beautiful. And I just was reminded of that. I had heard that incident before and reminded of that yesterday. It seems when Swami had given permission for the first cooperative stores to come in the campus, this was when only the Satya Sai Arts and Science College in Vrindavan was there. There was no university then, there was no campus in Puttaparthi. So when they started this cooperative stores, which would, you know, provide for the hostel boys, they invited Swami to inaugurate it and be the first customer. They wanted Swami to make the first purchase. And imagine, you know, Swami is taken to a shopping center and told, Swami, whom would you like to make your first purchase for? And Swami went and bought a bottle of castor oil. Swami said, I'll take this for Sai Geeta. Imagine, Swami wanted to buy the first purchase Swami did, and Swami wanted to do it for Sai Geeta. That was the place she had occupied in Swami's life, in Swami's heart.
One day, on an occasion where Swami was going and all the boys crowded on the road because they wanted to watch Swami have darshan, and same Sai Geeta too came on the road. You know, Sai Geeta had one more, if I can say, habit or one trait by which you could make out. Whenever Swami comes near her, she gets so excited that very often she would urinate. She would urinate or even drop dung at times. I've seen it with my own eyes.
When she comes to mandir, they carry a bucket along with them.
But you know, Sai Geeta, when she used to drop dung in the mandir, she had this habit that with her back foot, she would push it behind a pot as if, you know, trying to hide it and nobody should notice it. But she was in that way potty trained, and I don't think anybody has done that training for her. But well, on this occasion when she started urinating because Swami was coming close, that urine was falling off the falling on the tarmac, and it was
splashing around.
So all the boys, you know, moved back a bit because, you know, that would be like a literal waterfall. At that time, Swami said, "Why do you go away that way? If you drink a cup of that urine, maybe you will get part of her devotion." That spoke of Sai Geeta's love for Swami. In fact, when Shri Sanjay Sani sir, currently the principal of the Vrindavan campus, he was narrating this episode in Trai Vrindavan. Swami was seated on the jhula. And when he narrated this episode, instantly Swami looked at him and said, "Aunu, aunu," means yes. He said that Swami said that if you drink a glass of that urine, you will get her devotion. And so immediately Swami said, yes, yes. This brings me back to a significant point, Prem. It doesn't bring me back actually, it brings me to a new significant point which I have always pondered upon. The scriptures say that the three greatest gifts that any soul can get is manushyatvam, mumukshatvam,
and purusha samshaya.
Correct. Manushyatvam being a human birth, mumukshatvam being that intense desire for the ultimate redemption, and Mahapurusha Samshraya is the contact of a great godly divine person. So, Sai Geeta, you know, while speaking to Hislop, Swami told about Sai Geeta, he said that for all this love and devotion that she has shown towards me, she will be rewarded with a human birth next time, because till now she has not had a human birth. And just imagine, Prem, if human birth is the reward of all that intense love and devotion for the Lord, how lucky we are all to start off with a human birth. Sai Geeta had intense mumukshatvam, intense longing for the Lord. She did not want even what Swami gave her because she wanted Swami. How many times we mistake Swami for the gifts that Swami gives us? You know, when Swami gives us a ring or chain, we are so happy. Maybe in that moment we forget Swami and we are so concentrated on the ring or the chain that Swami has given. But Sai Geeta was never like that. That was her thirst for Swami. She had intense mumukshatvam and she had Mahapurusha Samshraya. That is contact with Lord Himself.
Lord Himself.
And the reward for that is a human birth. The culmination, the end point of such a life is the starting point for our life. We have got the human life. And by His love and grace, we have got even Mahapurusha Samshraya, which is contact with God. We have come to know of Him and we are in touch with Him. I always tell myself, is this not right and commonsensical on my part to develop that mumukshatvam, that longing for Swami and Swami alone and nothing else. Sai Geeta's life echoes this message loudly, saying that only that life is worthwhile which is led for Lord, and therefore do not seek anything else in life but the Lord.
You know, even as you were telling this, I'm reminded of a very, very profound event which happened in Kodaikanal. And I think the strongest message comes from Swami when Swami is apparently upset. Swami is apparently annoyed with something. It was one such occasion, Swami was sitting amidst boys, and Swami was in a little upset mood. Swami was not talking. So in an attempt to break this, you know, the coldness which was there in the air, one of the elders who were there started saying that, Swami, how fortunate we are that we are having this chance to sit in your presence, to have your proximity. Swami didn't say anything. Swami just kept quiet. Then somebody took on from there. They said, Swami, this must be the culmination of so many births of good fortune, you know, of good karma that you've got here. Again, Swami kept quiet. Then the other person said, no, Swami, we have not done anything to achieve this. We have not done anything in this birth. And I wonder if you have done anything in the past birth also. It's not just our past birth, but generations and of our ancestors who have done good fortune. And, you know, as a result of that, we are achieving here. Then again, Swami kept quiet. And now the people say, felt that, you know, we're pushing too much. Maybe if Swami doesn't want to talk, we shouldn't, you know, kind of force him to. After about a few minutes, Swami said, let's see, you are portraying false humility. Swami said, you are saying that, no, Swami, we have not done anything in this birth to achieve this. But you don't want to give up the credit. So you're saying that maybe in the past birth we would have done. Maybe our ancestors would have done. Which means it's false humility. You don't want to give up the credit. And Swami went on to say that none of you have done anything which makes you worthy of receiving this from me. He said, you have not done one fraction to receive what you're receiving from me, to get what you're receiving from me. It is your good fortune. Yes, of course, you have done good. It's a good fortune that your goodness has brought you in a time when the God is down on earth. But none of you have done anything to be worthy of this, what you're getting. He said, you can just catch a bus, come and have Swami's darshan. That is the fortune you are having right now. Don't think you've earned it. And then Swami went on to say, the sad thing is, none of you are making use of even 1/1,000,000th of the opportunity I'm giving. That is what I'm sad about.
Well, it's not nice to end on a sad note. Maybe the happy note is that with God, it's never too late, Prem. We can start off right away.
You're never too late, and we may give up, but God never gives up.
God never gives up.
And that's our good fortune, that we have a God who is never, never going to give up on us, because He's not like us, definitely.
Exactly. Whether we may give up on Swami, Swami will never give up on us. We may not have faith in Swami, Swami has faith in us.
You know, on one occasion, Swami was telling that, I give you directions, I tell you that don't go that way, there is a dead end. But you don't listen to me, you go there. But there is no dead end with God. I will take you to a different route. The route may become longer, but I will definitely take you to your destination.
So, Prem, it's almost 2 o'clock in the studios and it's time. Dear listeners, I hope that all of you also have enjoyed Swami's love and Geeta's love for Swami. If at all there's any difference between the two, they have the same.
There's so much more to say. I think we have shared only part of what we know, and what we know is a very, very small part of what there is.
Well, dear listeners, many of you would have visited Prashantaniliya many times, would have seen Sai Geeta many times. If at all you have any anecdotes or any experience to share regarding Swami and Sai Geeta, of course you can share any of your experience with Swami with us. We would be very happy to read them. But in today's satsang we have had about Sai Geeta, so any experiences, anecdotes about Sai Geeta that you wish to share, welcome, and we will be happy to read it. And we will respond, and sometimes, some other time, you know, when we have another satsang on Sai Geeta and her devotion, because there is so much more to explore and so much more to get to know, we will definitely incorporate them. For now, we offer our most humble and loving salutations and gratitude at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Till we meet next time at the same time for the afternoon satsang on the next Thursday live. So it is me, Arvind from Team Radio Sai, and
Prem from Team Radio Sai, taking your leave and taking Swami's permission to conclude this satsang. We leave you with this beautiful song. Thank you, Jai Sai Ram, and happy listening.
Manavula పైదికారు జంతువుల మీదను కరిరాజ వరద నీకు కడు ప్రీతి మానవుల పైనే కాదు జంతువుల మీదను కరిరాజ వరద నీకు కడు ప్రీతి మనసులోన పూజము మమతా జల జాతము కనులలోన పొంగెను కరుణా